Hi, I'm Shotgun Tori, an indie singer-songwriter. I believe that stories are to be shared and not left to wither quietly, with an imperative to inspire creators to keep making art against all odds. We created the Shotgun Story Podcast. It has conversations with independent artists about music, meaning, and the point of it all. What drives them? How do they keep afloat? What are the difficulties they face? And how do they tackle these challenges? Keep an eye open for bonus interviews with industry experts who seek to answer these questions. It's an inspiring resource for anyone who loves music and has ever thought about making it. For more information or to find the show notes, you can head over to shotguntory.com. Bart Jansen is a guitar player, a producer, an entrepreneur based in the beautiful Haarlem in the Netherlands. I met him forever ago. This man is a genius. I'm chatting to him yesterday. Hi, Bart.
Hi.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Why music? What drew you here? What sparked your love of it?
It started for me as a kid. I guess I was 6-7 years old. I had guitar lessons, classical guitar lessons. And I think it started with listening to records of Eric Clapton. That's what inspired me to pick up the guitar. And I never let it go since then. You know, I kept playing and developing. So I think it was Eric Clapton and Mark Knopfler, the Dire Straits. My parents listened to it every day. So,
I mean, what made you decide to do it professionally?
The key turning point was, I think, when I was about 15 years old. I started to play classical guitar. As I grew older, I was listening to Van Halen and Metallica, Bon Jovi and stuff. So I didn't actually like playing classical. And my guitar teacher told me, like, okay, but you can also play electric guitar. And that was mind-blowing for me. Like, okay, is that possible? You know, I thought I could only play classical guitar. So he borrowed his an old electric guitar to me. I could use it for 2 months, and I was sold. You know, I was like, I kept practicing. And so when I was 18 years old, I went to Rotterdam Music School, and I studied there for four or five years. So that was, you know, that was the turning point of my career, actually picking up the electric guitar. And then, you know, playing with older guys, I guess that motivated me. You know, I was 15 years old and I played in a band with guys like, they were 25 years old or something. So I had, you know, the level was pretty high for me.
Mm.
And I had to keep up with these guys, and, you know, I never let it go.
And if you were to look at your career as a timeline, what 3 to 5 highlights? It can be 3, it can be 5, it can be 10 if you like, would give context to a listener who's not familiar with you and your music career.
The first highlight was entering the Codarts Conservatory in Rotterdam. I had to do an audition, which was pretty heavy. And the first time I was rejected. So I practiced one more year really hard. And it was like 80 guitar players at that year, and only 4 were allowed. The next year, I could start to study that. Yeah, that was a highlight, because, you know, that's the starting point of your career, because your teachers are the best session players of the Netherlands, you know. So that keeps your career going, you know. And during my study, in the third year, they were looking for a guitar player for the former Idol winner of the Netherlands. It's called Boris. It's one of the best singers of the Netherlands. It's crazy. My teacher said, like, hey, man, maybe you should go there, you know. So he recommended me to the band leader. And they hired me. And so during my study, I was already starting to do sessions, you know. I did radio shows for the first time. I did TV, I did festivals. So that was a big highlight as well. Get involved in that whole session world, you know. And then you get to know other bands, and you get, you know, from there on.
Yeah.
It's like a snowball effect. So that was my first job during my study. It was pretty cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah, from that point, you know, it kept evolving. So you do bigger venues and stuff. So stadiums sometimes, that was pretty cool. You know, as a kid, you dream about that, right?
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I did some radio promotion with the weirdest gig was with the Backstreet Boys, I guess. I did a radio promotion in the Netherlands. The record company needed a guitar player, and they asked me. So that was pretty surreal, you know, go all on tour with the Backstreet Boys. It was pretty cool. And a turning point in my career was starting to produce. You know, I did a lot of pop sessions as a guitar player, so I played a lot of pop music. You know, I always loved the sound of pop songs, you know, the Swedish songs, actually. You know, the Max Martin sound, the whole pop sound of the 90s. When I started producing, I had my experience as a guitar player, you know, I took it with me, and I tried to evolve that, develop that pop sound. And that was a turning point. I started producing, I think, 10 years ago. I kept developing that, and now I'm more a producer than a guitar player, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that's a highlight of my career. I don't know if it's a highlight, but...
It's pivotal.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are great highlights.
I'm a lucky guy. Yeah.
You're a talented guy. I think that makes a difference.
I always think of myself, I'm not that talented, you know. I'm more a hard worker. I work really hard, you know. Sometimes I see kids play, like, oh my God, I wish I could do that at that age, you know. So I always had a thinking my mindset helped me through it, I guess.
No, I mean, that's super important. It's so easy to just coast and hope you're going to succeed. But without the hard work, well, there's no longevity in a career.
You have to keep working and develop yourself. And it's a really fast business, you know.
Mm.
Younger kids are waiting for you to quit. So, but I love to work with young producers and musicians. Yeah, embrace it.
Oh, wonderful! I want to talk a bit about that now. Tell me your ultimate why. What drives you to create? What inspires you to keep working as hard as you work?
I love to develop myself, you know, to get better, and I want, when I do something, I want to be really good. You know, that inspires me. You know, every time I pick up the guitar, I practice something, it makes me better, so that motivates me a lot. And the creative process of writing in the studio and stuff, I love the whole idea that, you know, you wake up in the morning and there's nothing, and you have a session with other writers and stuff, and one day, and at the end of the day, there's something, there's a song, you know, that, and it could be, you know, it could be a hit. That whole idea, that inspires me, like, okay, what are we going to do today? So every day is, there's never a dull moment. And that inspires me a lot, you know.
Oh, it's so exciting when you talk about it like that. Could you talk about your songwriting process for a moment?
I'm not a lyric writer, so I always work with people who write lyrics. I produce and write melody. I'm really into melody. When I started writing, always started at the guitar, and still does, because that's my, you know, that's what I breathe. You know, I know what it's like. I don't have to think about it. But lately, it can be everything. You know, it can start like, sometimes I hear a vocal hook, sometimes I hear a beat, you know. I start with a beat, and then, so it's always different. It always depends on the artist you're working with, I guess. Yeah, lately, last year, I don't know if you know Splice. It's a platform with millions of samples. That's basically it. So you pay like $8 a month, and then you can grab everything, vocals, the drums, loops, percussion loops. And that inspires me as well. Like, you know, sometimes I hear a sound at that website, you know, and grab it from Splice and work around that. And so it can come from everywhere, actually.
And obviously you collaborate then with a lot of musicians, as you say, with lyricists, singers. How does that work? So let's say, how do you connect with someone who you want to work with? And then once that happens, what is the process?
We're working with maximum 4 people in a session, I guess, you know, not more. And it really depends on the artist. Sometimes, most of the time, the artist is with us in the studio. And I work with small teams, so I got a few writers I work with a lot. And sometimes you work with new people. And yeah, as we get in the studio, we first grab a coffee around the corner and just chat for an hour or something, you know, just about life and whatever. Get to know each other. Get to know the artist, you know, what inspires him or her. Where do you want to write about? And then we just start. Most of the time during the conversation with the coffee, I start picking up the guitar and just play something. Randomly, like, try to get in the vibe, and then it starts from there on, you know, mumbling vocals and stuff, and from there we work. So it's in a creative process, we talk a lot, I guess, you know. And sometimes I have sessions, we talk like 5 hours just about nothing, and then 1 hour, bam, you do the whole song. And sometimes it's really hard you work for straight 6 hours. I think 6 hours is the max in a session.
Yeah,
it depends. But yeah, most of the time it's just feeling the vibe. And most important is the best idea wins, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no place, room for egos. I think that's the most important thing. When someone, for example, if we write a song and you have an idea, and in my mind I'm like, I'm not sure about it, I would never say that. Like, okay, let's try it, you know.
Yeah.
But maybe there's something in it that could evolve the song to a whole different direction. So, yeah, always let people spread their ideas. That's really important. That can kill a session. I had it before. Like, I was in a session and someone tried something, and on forehand they were saying like, oh, that's not going to work. Then, you know, then you can all go home at that point, because it ruined the whole session.
I mean, do you ever finish one of those 6 hour sessions without having a complete song?
Yeah, it happens. Yeah, but most of the time it's like we don't have the lyrics ready for a second verse or a bridge or something. So, and I always have to listen back the day after or something, you know.
Totally.
When I'm working alone, finishing the songs in a day, I go through 3 sessions a day, you know, like switching from song to song, because it keeps you fresh. Sometimes you're so much in the zone. That happens if you know, sometimes you can't finish a song because you know, you can't finish the puzzle, I guess, you know.
Yeah,
so it needs time. Yeah. But finishing is really important. Finishing is, you have to finish the songs.
Yeah.
That's the dangerous part. Yeah.
What confuses me, I guess, as a creator, is how do you know if it's any good?
Gut feeling, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
My best hit meter is play it for your family who are not non-musicians, you know.
Yeah.
Those are the best critics. At least I do it. I want my neighbor to like the songs, and I want my, you know, friends like play those songs, and not, you know, the worst critics are the musicians, I guess, because they are always picking on a drum sound, or it doesn't matter. It's the song. A song has to be good. And When I play it for my girlfriend, she always picks out the weak spots, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is weird. This sounds weird. I don't get it. Oh, it's, you know? That's the best way to check out if it's... And it's gut feeling, I guess. Sometimes you know, right? You know, you're creating, you're in a room with people and like, okay, this is something. But I'm the worst A&R, I guess, you know, because sometimes I think like, oh man, this is a smash. And then at the record company, they are like, you don't feel it. I'm like, but what? You know? And the weirdest thing happened. We created a song once, and actually, I was in a band, and we did an album, 12 songs, and we wanted to skip one song. Like, okay, this is not gonna work. And then the record company said, like, oh, this is the single, and it came pretty big on Dutch radio. So it's like, you know.
Wow.
Sometimes you're totally wrong.
So when you're working with a team, do you generally work with the artist who is going to be performing that song? Or do you sometimes work with a team of songwriters and then have an artist that it'll be for?
I think 80% of the time we're working with artists who eventually perform the song.
Mm.
And sometimes you do a pitch, but I'm not doing that quite often. It's like, you know, I want the artist to be involved with it. Some artists are really hands-on and some are just in the room. And that's fine too, you know.
Yeah.
And our policy is like, whenever you're in the room, you write together, you know. We do always do equal splits because, you know.
Absolutely.
That one person can say something, a word, that can change the whole direction. So, yeah, I think it's really important to have the artist in the room.
Absolutely. And also to have that agreement up front about splits.
With the people I work with often, it's not a discussion, but you have, you know, the split bullshit, you have it several times a year, and luckily I have a publisher now who I'm sending an email like, fix this please. Yeah, this is what we agreed on. I don't want to get involved with it. There's always a tricky thing. I'm not a supporter of discussing splits before a session or something, you know.
Mm.
But when you do a writing camp for a publisher, there are always split sheets at the end, so you write it down and it's, you know, there's never the discussion. So yeah, it's always a tricky part, the business side and the creative part.
Wow, that's interesting. A writing camp. What is that?
A writing camp. You have that a lot lately in the Netherlands. Basically, it's like, okay, this artist needs a new album. We are having a writing camp with, like, let's say, 5 studios in one building. I did a camp lately. I think there were 20 songwriters involved, and it's organized by publishers. So the publishers said, like, okay, we're going to make some small groups. Like, you're going to write with him, you're going to write with her, and, you know?
Yeah.
And then you do one session a day, or sometimes two, you know, you start in the morning with a group, you have lunch, you do another one, and then have dinner, and next day you're getting back. So after that week, there are like, 40 songs or something for that artist. Wow. So that's like a music factory kind of idea. I did it once for an artist I'm involved with, and it's pretty cool because, you know, I'm not a big fan of writing camps because it's sometimes you can get in pretty deep in it, you know. You know what I mean? It's like, oh shit, we have to change group. Oh, let's write the first two really fast because we have 1 hour left.
Yeah.
I don't really like that concept, but for networking, it's pretty good, you know. Last writing camp, I saw writers I haven't seen in 5 years. So that's, you know, that's good about it.
Wow, I mean, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But I want to ask more about the songwriting for a second. Do you have tips for songwriters who are keen on writing not just for themselves?
Collaboration is really important. You can learn from other people, you know, and sometimes I'm not good at lyrics. I try, but I'm not, you know, I know what I'm good at. Don't be afraid to collaborate, because if you want to go for the best result, and if you're not a good producer, just find a good producer and you write the lyrics, or, you know, vice versa. So collaboration is, I think, key in this in that process. Yeah, and it starts with listen to songs, you know. What do you want? If you want to go into pop, just go to Spotify and listen to what's happening in that song. There are some rules, you know. Like, if you have a single in the Netherlands, at least, it's like the song is 2.5 minutes max 3 minutes, you know. You have to know these things if you write for an artist who is in the charge.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to write a song, 5 minute song, you know.
Yeah.
All these key elements, you have to know what's important. So I said earlier, finish the songs, you know, finish everything you do. That's a learning process as well. Not just start something and it's, I don't know, it's good enough. No, try to find a way to get it better and finish it and go on to the next one. So it's like, write, you know, you have to write a lot. And you have to make shitty songs. Yeah.
I was reading an interview with Pete Seeger about his songwriting the other day. And he was talking about maybe write, you know, 100 songs, and there's probably 1 in 10 that by the end of the year you're still playing.
Yeah. I think Ed Sheeran said it as well, like, you have to write 100 songs and 99 are shitty and 1 is a hit, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
And so once you've finished writing the song, how do you get it to the right ears, onto the right discs?
That's probably network. And it started for me as a guitar player. You play with several artists, so you get to know their managers. You get to know record label people. So as you start with songwriting, I think it's, you have to connect with record label people. Just send them your demos and you know, build your network. I think that's really important. And be honest to yourself. Like, if you have a folky song, don't pitch it to a hip-hop label. You know,
yeah.
You know, you have to understand that. Like, what would be the perfect fit? And talk with publishers, I guess. You know, if you really want to write for artists, I think a publisher would be a good option for you. But if you want to stay independent, keep your publishing. Yeah, so it depends. But most of the, you know, get out there and try to reach out for people in the business, because it's, the business is as important as the product. Yeah, you know, if you have a shitty song, nobody wants to listen. But you know, the product has to be good. But the business side is really important. Get to know people. That's key.
Great advice.
I think streaming is really important, so get your music out there and syncs. So sync will get your music in commercials and stuff. So, but it's a slow business. It's not like, you know, when you do a gig, it's like, okay, you get paid and that's it. So if you make an album now of an EP or something, you see the revenues within a few years. So that's challenging.
Yeah.
But it's a way, you know, it is possible. You have to start, I guess, you know, just do it. And the content is king, so bring out the song.
Wonderful.
Is that a good advice? I don't know.
Yes, I know, but what's interesting about it is it's such a different perspective, because a lot of people have been, and me included, have been feeling like streaming has been the death of album sales. But to hear you speak about it like this is a whole new light on it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you have to face it. Like, album sales, you can hold on to that, but the reality is that it's not going to, you know, no one's buying CDs anymore.
No.
Why would you? Because, you know, you can stream and get it, you know, if you pay like, what is it, $10 a month, $8 a month, you have every song within your hands. So you're not going to win. You're not going to survive if you so embrace it, I guess. But you need a lot of streams to make money and make a good deal with a record label. That's another thing.
Mentioning that, with making a good deal with a record label, isn't some of the story that a lot of the artists who sign deals before this whole streaming thing don't get money for their streams? Or is that not true?
It depends on the deal.
Yeah.
You know, there are several ways to build your career. You know, if you have an artist deal, like 360 deal, so they invest in you, so they pay your productions, they pay your video, they pay for your marketing. It could be helpful for the first two albums to get into the industry and get people to know you. Mm. But there's another way. If you keep it all to yourself, you pay for your own production and own videos and stuff and do your own marketing, you can make a distribution deal, you know, and you get more of the revenues. So yeah, it depends on where you're at your career, I guess. I think that's important.
And the artists that you've seen taking a knock from live shows, how have you seen them get creative about making an actual living right now?
There are some who got other jobs, you know, to survive. They have a family at home, and so that's pretty happy to see, you know. People are getting into the studio and create, you know. That's what people do now. And also make commercial deals with brands and stuff.
Yeah.
But then you have to be a well-known artist. And some are doing streaming concerts, you know, and some are good at it. They ask like €4 per ticket.
Mm.
But, you know, it's still not the same experience as a live concert. So I don't really believe in that concept.
Content is king. That is the takeaway.
Yeah.
Is there a song that you wish that you had written?
Yeah, many. Lately, I thought of someone yesterday. I was talking about the last Justin Bieber song.
Yeah.
Anyone? It's called Anyone. I was like, I literally said like, oh man, I wish I wrote that song. That's a smash for me. But it's not, you know, every ABBA song is great, and every, you know, Queen. I think for me as a producer, I really love the Max Martin stuff. It's the Swedish producer, one of the biggest pop producers in the world. You know, he did everything for the Britney Spears songs to Taylor Swift. I really love the simplicity of it. Like, it's so difficult to write something so simple. That it's like, for me, it's the same level as the Beatles, this guy. It's like,
oh, that is saying something. Amazing.
Yeah, I think some people will kill me now, but but I really mean that. It's like, to write the simplest thing is really difficult, and he is the master of it.
And do you have a wish list collaboration?
Worldwide?
I
would say, like, Taylor Swift would be amazing.
Yes.
I think she's a really, really good songwriter. I really like Charlie Puth. He's really talented as well. Yeah, and Adele would be great. But yeah. Yeah, you have to be realistic. I think you should, if you want to work with these people, you have to be realistic and move to the States or move to London or something, you know?
Yeah.
I'm really realistic about that, and then work from there.
Mm-hmm. What advice, given everything we've spoken about, what advice would you give to indie creators to keep them keeping on?
I would say, first of all, believe in what you do. And you know, it's a cheap answer, but it starts with that. You know, you have to believe yourself, you know, and want to get heard. And work hard. Work your ass off. I think that's really important. It's musically, but it's also business-wise, okay? If you want to, you can't say like, okay, I'm in the studio, I'm writing 300 songs a year and not knowing the business. That's not going to work. So, and I'm complaining about it's hard. No, you have to know how the business works.
Mm.
I think that's really important. And work hard, you know, and be selfish, I guess, in that point of view. Not like in, but you have to be like, okay, I want to get heard. You have to shout it out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Get to know people. And because it's hard, you know, you have to work hard because the best of the world are like 24/7 in the studio, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And hang in there, you know. It's just, I really believe if you work hard and get the content out, you eventually it's going to land somewhere. Definitely. Be patient. That's a good advice, I guess. Work hard and be patient.
And hang in there. I love it.
Hang in there, yeah.
And now, can anyone find you on social media if they want to see what you're doing, what you're up to?
Yeah, I think Instagram would do more. Yeah, it's Barth, RTS Barth.
Barth, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Gosh, there's so really, really so much valuable information here. Yeah, I'm excited and I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
It was a pleasure. You too.
If you are an independent artist whose passion for what you do can inspire or fuel others, get in touch. I'd love to chat. You can find me on shotguntory.com.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.